Oh, heal my wounds. Before you, O God, as incense, and may your presence surround and fill us, so that in union with all creation, we might sing your praise and your love in our lives.
Amen.
God of the present moment, God who in Jesus stills the storm and soothes the frantic heart, bring hope and courage to all who wait or work in uncertainty. Bring hope that you will make them the equal of whatever lies ahead. Bring them courage to endure what cannot be avoided. For your will is health and wholeness. You are God, and we need you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
A reading from St. John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jewish man, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And she said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his children and flocks drank from it?"
And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to Jesus,
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
And Jesus said, "Go, call your husband and come back." And she answered,
"I have no husband."
He said, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And she said,
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jewish people. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him,
I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us.
Jesus said to her, Here I am, the one who is speaking to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So yesterday afternoon, Valerie and I were taking a walk around Lafayette Square Park. As we were walking along the sidewalk, we encountered two or three folks, and they veered out onto the grass so as not to pass too close by. At first, I didn't get it. It didn't strike me. But then I realized they were practicing social distancing. One guy, humorously I think, pointed out that we, walking arm in arm, were not practicing social distancing. Our response to the pandemic is refined daily, almost as if each day brings a new world, a new reality. So it has been useful, I think, to move our understanding and description of social distancing to the concept of physical distancing. Indeed, as many folks have pointed out, and as many of us are practicing, as with our service here tonight, we are working in a committed way to remain socially connected, close to you all, in the midst of a viral reality that pushes us toward fear and panic, and social isolation, even suspicion and anger toward others. Shifting the term to physical distancing reminds us that socially, as community, we are called to care for one another. It is socially that we will survive. It is socially that we will survive. Perhaps as the community of faith, it is appropriate to say that it is spiritually that we will survive, inasmuch as it is the Spirit's function to weave us together for the purpose of life, for an abundance of life, to use John's term in the gospel. That is life for all people. No one can be divided out, excluded. God is spirit who gathers us together. So those who worship God do so in spirit and truth. We worship in the spirit of being gathered as a great community of the created, socially, spiritually connected to all. This connection is the truth we recognize in the midst of our current viral threat. In a sense, the story of the woman at the well is an extraordinarily simple, yet very profound story about the viral toxicity of social distancing, that is, of not being connected in a spirit of care and regard to one another, which is the universal virus that has plagued us from the beginning of time. In our story today, Jesus is the healing agent who, in this one story, announces and brings healing to the world. Some of you have heard me say that this story of the woman at the well is perhaps even more profound than the crucifixion resurrection story itself. At least in the Gospel of John, that is true. The woman at the well is the image and reality of social distancing, of ostracizing, of excluding, of scapegoating, of all the prejudice used by some to elevate themselves over others, like white supremacy or scapegoating immigrants or blaming foreigners or political opponents for COVID-19. Such social exclusion is certainly not health. It is the true demonic that Scripture, the prophets, and particularly Jesus challenge. The woman was a social isolate. This fact is evident by her presence at the well at the hottest part of the day, high noon. Others would not be there. No one wanted to associate with her. She was viewed as toxic. Now, outdated interpretations suggest that this toxicity was her own fault, that she was a woman of loose morals, all those husbands, you know. And certainly Jesus came for sinners, of course. But more likely, she was a woman who experienced deep, personal, tragic heartbreak. Had she been widowed 5 times? Or perhaps she was barren and so discarded in divorce by 5 husbands, and then ostracized in a community which valued women by their ability to give birth. However it is that we understand her history, we know that her social reality was of isolation, of disconnection, of being separated out. Relationship was either broken or denied her. To be distanced from society, to be distanced from care and regard, we know throughout the world to be social death. The woman is a member of a people reviled and discriminated against, the Samaritans. She is a woman in a patriarchal society, isolated by her own people. In Jesus' encounter with this woman, he breaks the lie of social death through the building of a true relationship with her, which is called living water. Notice, he does not forgive her anything. He neither condemns nor judges, but leads her toward the truth of her reality, her identity in the world in which she finds herself, and in part which she no doubt has contributed. All the while accepting her, abiding with her in relationship, leading her toward a new, fuller identity. The more she understands the reality and identity of herself, the closer she comes to grasping who Jesus is, the truth of Jesus, the one who comes, sent by God to heal brokenness, to include her into God's community of spirit and truth, no matter where they might worship. The woman in healing care is led to confess, she's led to confess her hope. I know that the Messiah is coming, she says. And now Jesus announces and he shares in the deepest moment of relationship with one who was dead, but now whose heart is open in hope. Here I am, he says. I am here for you and because of you. For she is essential for this relationship, for him to be the Christ at all. Only here is the truth of Jesus, his messiahship and his divinity truly revealed. in relationship with the woman at the well. Death and resurrection, we might say, at the well. Perhaps this is the only story we need, because it is your story. It is our story. Whatever the nature of our distance, whatever our brokenness, whatever the loss we feel in our lives and in the world, whatever has befallen us, this is our story, and Christ is coming. We are always coming to the well, searching for acceptance, for the depth of relationship, for living water, for community with God. The truth of the resurrection is that Jesus is always there for us, not to condemn or judge, but to hear us, to hear in his heart our fear and brokenness, to bear it in his body and soul. The world cries out with the woman, in her name, in her sorrow, in her hope, give me this water. And we are called to cry beyond the reality and boundaries of COVID-19. We are called also then to cry against the ongoing prejudices and fears that distance us from one another and God. Abiding in and with Christ, no distance between them. I think the true definition of what real presence is about. The woman emerged, healed from the pandemic of dehumanization in which she was caught, healed from social death to an abundance of life, living water. She in Christ Jesus proclaims today good news to us. God in Christ Jesus is with us, not distant. God in God's love for us calls and empowers us to care for one another, to bring healing to the world in this time of virus and then beyond. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Filled the hungry with love. promised to Sarah and Abraham, kindness forevermore. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love at your servant here, and blessed me all my life
and life, give to your people the peace that passes all understanding and the will to live your gospel of mercy and justice. And for Deb and Paul, and in remembrance of the life and witness of Philip, we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God, remember us in your love, and teach us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless our God.
Give thanks to you.
May God, Creator, bless us and keep us. May Christ be ever light for our lives.
May the Spirit of love be our guide and path for all of our days.
Peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.